Hello and welcome to episode 5 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris from Surreyor on a Budget. And I'm joined by my co-host, a man who in 2005 was voted Housewife's Choice of the Year, which is an interesting award to have. And that is Russ from Scotland Surreyor. Russ, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah, just for those, I told Russ I had an introduction for him, and I didn't tell him what it was, so I just wanted to get his reaction live on the air. I'm going to do this every week. It's going to be a bit like Clarkson introducing the Stig, and I've got a whole host of them buried in the head already, Russ, so brace yourself for those bad boys.
Oh, Jesus. No, I'm very good, Chris. Been an interesting game week, a busy, I think, probably certainly for the both of us, but I'm guessing a lot of the other Scottish sort of content guys and things like that will have had a busy week as well. So it's been really interesting. It's ramped up activity. And yeah, just apart from the actual the playing SO5 game week itself, it's all round been pretty positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's Surreyor-wise, real-world-wise, there's obviously been a few things. I kind of touched on that on my Twitter page today, and I know, obviously, you've been a very busy man recently as well in the real world as such. So, yeah, Surreyor's been... I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, we usually open with our game weeks. I'll quickly touch on mine. Rubbish. I didn't have a good game week. I had 3 of my captains. Two of them were DNPs and one was a substitute for the first time this season. It wasn't the best of game weeks. I did get the lower ETH and that was with a DNP captain. I got to 239. So if the captain had just taken the field, I was guaranteed the higher ETH, and that was with a common goalkeeper. And it was just one of those things. I mean, it happens, and the limited teams, each of them were let down by a shock DNP. Some of them were players we recommended to look at last week on the Scotland Launch podcast. But, I mean, it was what it was. So I'm not going to dwell on it too much. I came out with about 25 quid. And it's, you know, it's on to midweek. Midweek is going dreadfully bad. I was on 110 points up until the 90th minute in the game where the goalkeeper conceded a penalty and then conceded the goal from the penalty. So I went from 66 points with him down to 15, and a big missed chance was hit by big Stefan Nuts at the end of the game. And so I went down to 50 points, and Marcus Pink tonight has scored 35. So I'm sitting with a grand total of 88 points from 3 rare cards having played. So I need 2 lots of decisives from a defender and a midfielder in Asia this midweek. So one of those things. How about yourself?
Well, I was in quite a lot of competitions, as you know. My all-star team was absolutely flying. I recommended Jackson Maleka last week as a player. That's, you know, I recommended him probably about 3-4 months ago on social media. However, I mentioned him to everyone else on that listens on the pod last week, and he continues to bang in the goals, and he got another 2 and another, you know, 90 odd score. I had a solid performance from Akinfeev in the goal. Yazici was a little bit below par, not up to his usual standards. And I looked and I thought, you know, I'm in for a good score. And then I had a Juan Cuadrado DNP, which I wasn't expecting, hadn't seen anywhere. And that rocked my all-star team. However, I hit the 250. So I hit the upper ETH.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, you hit the lower ETH with 4 players. And that, again, just from a planning perspective from, you know, August onwards, for those that are worrying about not being able to win anything or not being able to sort of upskill, up-level, increase their spends, increase their galleries, etc. There's a little bit of proof in the pudding. We've both basically hit ETH of sorts with 4 players playing. Now, that could as very easily be both sitting with a red number 2 goalkeeper, in theory.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's one big takeaway this week was that I'm one of these people that I sit on the Surreyor data app and I look at Russ's team as well as my own. And one thing I did notice, and I did discuss with you, and I probably jinxed it by talking about it, was your All-Star Rare Pro was was very close to success. I mean, that was 15 points away. And there were options, you know, had, for example, you played, was it Uruti as your forward in there instead? That's an extra 50 points and you're into, like, major prize territory. So it's one of these things, it's such a fine margin in the Serie A world that, I mean, I could have went back and looked at mine and with the limiteds, I think I could have pulled together the better part of 400 points if I'd put them all in there. But then again, if I had wings, then I would fly. So, yeah. It was interesting. It's always a learning curve, and it's just trying to find that right balance, isn't it?
Yeah, the All-Star Pro, you're absolutely spot on. I had a few people that I know from the Serie A community, both people that I know in person and people that I only know through social media. And there was quite a few messages on Saturday and Saturday night coming through, All-Star, you know, Rare Pro, you're flying, you know, what are you going to win? All these kind of things. And of course, I went back to them and said, you know, it's a long time till Monday night.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I went from double figures in and around 40th position to slipping, you know, by the end of Sunday night, I was down to 90th position and only had 25 or 30 places to play with. And sure as fate, come Monday night, I'd slipped to just two places behind the prizes. And I knew by the time that the opta adjustments were done that I would be down and out. However, it is genuinely the first time that I've put a Rare Pro team in that I genuinely felt could actually maybe compete. I've put in teams before. I've been putting in teams for months, and they've always been missing something. And more often than not, I was missing the super rare cards.
Yeah,
which I've just started to, you know, that's a, you know, 14, 15 months into playing this game, and that's me really just starting to try and identify super rare bargains to try over the summer and contest that league. The special competitions and the limiteds that, again, I was so adverse to for months and months with yellow cards, as we spoke about before in previous pods, I'm quite enjoying. All my players played, which was in the two teams that I put in, which was nice. I'm waiting on Miguel Berry at Columbus Crew, who had a really good season, tail end of season last year. I'm really waiting for him to sort of go on fire, and it's just not happening. I think that's maybe five games without a goal now. And my other team that I've always so high hopes for my under-23s, you know, I pride myself on, you know, analysing the data and looking at all the sort of stats and keeping a really close eye on the Wonder Kids of Europe, etc. And I was hit with two DNPs, and it wasn't two that I would have expected. So I scored 240 points with three players. And Milan Van Ewijk, or the Ewok, as I call him.
Ewok.
Who has played... He's played 97%. He's not missed a game until Saturday there. And I couldn't find anything. So I've not been able to find anything why he didn't play. I don't know if it's related to COVID or disciplinary or anything. I've not been able to find anything at all on him. If anybody that's listening knows anything, please let me know. And the other one that was a wee bit of a shock was a guy that's been on a 10-match run in the Rosario team that I've mentioned on the pod before. And Emmanuel... Who doesn't love Emmanuel? Emmanuel Ojeda, who's been playing defensive midfield, and he's been, you know, really quite a solid performer from under 23. And he went missing as well and wasn't in the team. So that was my game week in a nutshell. Most of my players played, a few underperformances, a few close shaves, a small win in relation to the fact of getting some Ethereum. But that's it for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It's fine margins. And it's, you know, these things happen. I mean, I had Alan Forrest, tipped him on the pod last week. And even now, you know, we're a week, you know, well, not a week, we're 4 or 5 days from the Saturday. And I've still not got any information as to why he didn't play either. So, yeah, it was a strange one. But yeah, fine margins, as I've said before. I've said it on videos, you know, if you make one slight change, you know, it makes a monster difference. Anyway, in terms of making small changes, or certainly making big changes in our galleries, the Scotland launch last week, from our point of view, from Russ and myself, the podcast exploded last week. Now, we've been really quite, you know, pleased with the audience we've been getting and the feedback we've been getting, even though we're still, and in fact, after the last week, we're getting infinitely more listens to the podcast, and we have follows on the Twitter page. So if you haven't followed the Twitter page, please go and do it, because it helps us kind of gauge things a little bit more. But yeah, we had an 87% increase on listens, and we were already very happy. So it was a massive impact, because obviously we touched a lot on the Scottish leagues. So in terms of from the launch, how did you get on in terms of picking players up? And, you know, was there any that you missed out on, or any that went for more or less? Or, you know, we'll just obviously have a general chat. And again, in all transparency, we've not had time to really communicate a lot, other than, you know, the odd instant messenger. That's really been about it, hasn't it? So,
yeah, massive, obviously, surge in interest, first and foremost. So social media, not just us, but there's three or four of the main sort of vocal people that are within the game are Scottish, along with ourselves. So with that, I think there's probably a lot of brains getting picked, etc. Mm-hmm. So that was good. So first and foremost, a surge of interest around our league. Brilliant. What's not to like?
Yeah.
Then there were some sort of inbox questions, etc., based on teams, lineups, predictions, things like that. So that was all, you know, really positive. Then the auction started to finish.
Yeah.
And the big thing for me was, I'm sitting looking, and you know, I've had such a strategy around my gallery for so long, and who I'm going to be buying, when I'm going to be buying them. And then all of a sudden, as I say, that was a bombshell for us last week. That with Scotland launching. So the strategy, to be perfectly honest with you, last weekend went completely out the window, and I just wanted to buy for once who I liked, who I support, the team that I've followed since I was 7-8 years old. So I ended up, just for figures, just to give you an idea, I bought 20 limited cards, all Scottish League, predominantly Dundee United, which is my team. I bought 11 rares and 2 super rares. Admittedly, one of the super rares was just today. But that's kind of been in the sort of the 6-day period. So that's an essence of about 32 cards. I've also bought and sold and flipped a few.
Yep.
So there's probably about another 6 or 7 on the spreadsheet that aren't in those figures. So yeah, 40 cards roughly of either an incoming or a turnover, which is massive activity. What I probably did find, and I found it quite frustrating, was that a lot of the sort of latter part of the alphabet and the super rares were finishing at like 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Yeah.
European time, I should add. And that was, don't get me wrong, I got up, I set my alarm, and I was bidding on a few. I missed out on super rare Nicky Clark and a super rare Ryan Edwards, which again, I wanted both players in my gallery, but I missed out on them both just because of the timings. So yeah, do you know what? In truth, the fact that I was able to put out, I think just before the deadline, I managed to get myself a rare Charlie Mulgrew, so Mr. Big Sexy himself. And do you know what? The fact that I could captain him, and you know, he's standing alongside my other European stalwarts. I think it was in the Challengers Select. It was so enjoyable.
Yeah,
and I think amazing. I think just for me, just to kind of summarise on that, just before I move off on it, the big thing for me was that up until last week, we've both been in a position that we've spoken about many players, we've spoken about and done videos and analysed stats for leagues and players, etc., that we know about and that we spend a lot of time looking at, but we don't have that sort of personal passion around the teams because we don't support them. Mm-hmm. And to actually have players, which I'm guessing, you know, there'll be guys from Netherlands and Belgium and France, etc., that have been in this game, that have got their teams already in the game. It really is like a hook, it's like a bug. And I'm guessing you were pretty much the same going by what was happening in your gallery.
I was, you're absolutely right. I had an absolute ball with it. Now, I mentioned on the podcast last week that what I was likely to be picking up was going to be the limited cards for Dundee. So the launch, you know, the auction starting at 8 a.m. My school run that I do is I'm a bus driver for my job, and my school run starts at 10 past 8. So I may have been 2 or 3 minutes late for my first pickup because I was busy picking up other things. So I think we were in a very, very, very close contest as to who bought the very first Scottish NFT, or Scottish League NFT. I haven't asked you to check your email to see what time the email came through at for when you bought Adrian Sporla. I got Adam Lesden's, and it was it must have been very close because they both finished before Aaron McInniff finished. So right. I know for myself, I bought the very first ever Dundee FC official NFT, and that's something I hang my hat on. So my initial plan was I was going to try and pick up all the number ones of the Dundee cards as they were coming out. It just wasn't feasible. The prices some of them were creeping up to was just, you know, insanity. And I was just like, I can't do this. I have to be realistic. So what I went with instead was I went with a strategy of having a collection of matching serial numbers and kit numbers. So I currently in my gallery, if you have a look, Serrer on a Budget is the gallery name. If you go and have a look in there, you will see that I have a collection of all the Dundee cards with the matching kit numbers and card numbers. So that was something I missed out on two in the auctions. One finished whilst I was driving, and one finished overnight. And I'd actually put a couple of overbids on them, to be perfectly honest, because I wanted to deter people from putting a bid on them. And apparently it didn't deter some people putting bids in them. So either people had clocked what I was doing or what have you. But I ended up overpaid for Ibsen Rossi. And I also overpaid for, it was Paul McMullen. I missed out on Paul McMullen, believe it or not. But I picked him up separately from the secondary market. And the guy didn't even have him up for sale. I just went and offered the money and he took it. So it was a great fun from that aspect. I was also able to then use those players in my limited teams, and two of them were in the same team and one scored and one had the goal line clearance. So it was a healthy score I got from them. But unfortunately, I then had other underperformers in that team. All in all, I picked up 44 cards from the Scottish League. Now, 25 of those are Dundee. I do have 3 Dundee United players or Dundee United cards in the gallery. And I've said this before, it doesn't fuss me in the least. If it's helping me win prizes, I could care less where those cards come from. So, I picked up Ryan Edwards, like yourself. I picked him up just yesterday. I was waiting on his auction coming round, but somebody put one up and it was at a decent price, so I put a bid in on that. I think I've also got his limited card. And the other one I picked up was Nicky Clark in the limited. He was another one. So it was the two that I tipped. I felt like, you have to back your tips, don't you? So I did that. And in some recent news, I've picked up Mark O'Hara from Motherwell. He's agreed a pre-contract with a different club. A wee bit of a gamble because St Mirren are far from safe. But I felt like it was worth, £30 to take a punt on him. And I also did a trade with Pavel. Somebody, bizarrely, in my opinion, traded a Connor Barron into Pavel. So I was astonished when I seen that was in his gallery. And I had a player I was trying to sell anyway. So I traded for Connor Barron and also Chris Kane of St Johnston, who's out for the season. It's potential, his card's not worth an awful lot at the moment. But he's been sorely missed by St Johnston through injury. I picked up a fair few. I also picked up Boogie Boy Andy Considine. I think you picked him up as well. So, and my favourite one of the weekend and my best performer of the weekend was Conor Randall of Ross County, playing against Celtic, lost 2-0, but scored 63 points. So that was one I was very happy with. But I'll tell you, it was fun to sit and track the games. I was watching the Dundee game whilst I was working. I was waiting on pickups and things like that, and I just sat and I watched the Dundee game, and obviously I had a vested interest. It was a huge game. We drew 1-1, so we're still sitting quite perilous, 5 points adrift with only 12 to play for. So Dundee cards again, it's very much buyer beware. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like you say, it was a massive enjoyment for me to sit and actually follow players that I know I'm passionate about. And it was, being able to watch Dundee players scoring me points was quite something. It wasn't a Jay Chapman situation where I had his card and the boys, I think there's been more sightings of Shergar. So yeah, no, that was that. It was fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. I mean, in terms of what I have noticed the last couple of days, now that the market's settled a wee bit, there are some people that are grossly overpricing cards. You know, they're buying them for 0.02 and they're listing them for 0.1, you know, five times. And there is ridiculous to do that. You're not going to sell them. And in essence, you're probably going to lose out. If somebody had, you know, a card listed maybe 0.025, you might get a sale. 0.03, you might get a sale. 5x, just honestly, have a word with yourself. You know, it's ridiculous when you see some of those. But there are some serious bargains, like I say, with Mark O'Hara. I mean, I mentioned it on Twitter last night, Russ, and there's two on auction that are finishing tomorrow, I think it is. And their prices are more than what I paid for them. So it's interesting that, you know, when we make some of these comments, a lot of the players that we recommended on the video last week, some of the prices are still quite high. Some of them are on merit, you know, without necessarily being tipped, but there are some that are there. I mean, I just had a notice, a quick glance at your gallery there, and I did see who your blue card was. And that was a very tidy little price that you got him for, if you want to share any bargains that you've seen still.
Yeah, just, I think you hit the nail on the head with the Dundee players. Obviously, they're it's a gamble. It's a gamble picking them up. However, if they stay up, you know, I think I had a look, maybe, you know, you're talking, well, it's the 27th today. So, you know, Wednesday the 27th, about 2 hours ago. So you're talking, what, 7 p.m. And I think there was four blue super rares that were under 0.04.
Yeah.
Now that, obviously, these are players that are, you know, I would go as far as saying it's very regular in the team. You know, this isn't peripheral players, etc. So there are some bargains potentially if Dundee managed to stay up. However, I managed to pick up Declan Gallagher, who was out with injury at Aberdeen.
Yep.
And has just come back into the team at Aberdeen. And he's in favour with Jim Goodwin at the moment. He probably, you know, Jim Goodwin obviously has taken over from Stephen Glass at Aberdeen, and I think it's probably a very different style of football. Jim Goodwin, obviously, his teams are, I would say, quite aggressive, whereas Stephen Glass was probably a little bit more focused on a particular style of play, and etc. Yeah, Declan Gallagher sort of fits the bill. You'll know Declan yourself, Chris. I'm sure you can comment on him in a minute or two. But yeah, I picked up Declan Gallagher. I also picked up a few more rares. So Ryan Edwards was one. The Bankery Beckenbar, as Andrew Considine is known. So Bankery is the place that he was born, which is in the northeast of Scotland. And like Chris says, he is the boogie boy. So that's the yes, sir, we can boogie that gets played at the Scotland games for anybody listening, wondering what are you on about. But Andrew Considine he's out of contract at Aberdeen, and he rejected the terms that were offered to him, which I believe, or certainly paper talk would have you believe that it's, you know, he was offered roughly half, sort of half wages at Aberdeen for another season. Now, Andy Considine is a way to turn 35, if he hasn't already just turned it. But the guy's built like a tank. He's 6'5". He's absolutely solid. And up until the injury that he had this year, I think it was, I had a look, and he's only missed something like 12 games in 7 or 8 seasons. Now, that is, you know, he's obviously, you know, running through walls and stuff and things like that to be playing. Now, there's a very good chance, obviously, given his hometown, his location, the fact that he's played all his football in the northeast of Scotland, there are two other clubs in the northeast of Scotland that may or may not be able to potentially afford to take on Andy Considine, and one being Ross County, who are safe in the Scottish League. And obviously Malky Mackay, from his time in the Scotland national setup, I would think will know Andy Considine relatively well. And the other, of course, who are a club in the Scottish Championship but are contesting the playoffs, is Inverness, who will be looking to strengthen if they manage to get up. Now, that's a big if for them. However, Andy Considine, for me, I think there's at least one good season in him. And this is a guy that's going for, you know, £11 to £20 in the game at the moment for a rare. You know, I think you're able to pick up, he's limited for under a quid or 92p. Under a pound.
92p I paid for him.
You know what? A run of 4 or 5 games, even if you're looking just to make a wee bit of money and flip him, or you can just maybe put them in there in one of your, you know, one of your challenger teams, etc. So there's a wee bit there. I also picked up Sean Kelly at Livingston. This is Sean Kelly's the brother of Liam Kelly, the Motherwell keeper.
Yep.
And Sean Kelly, been at Livingston, I think he was at Falkirk, if my mind serves me correctly. I think he was at Falkirk before, and he's just had a wee run of games here. Now, it was a card I wasn't 100% sure of picking up. I've actually got him on the market at the moment just to flip him for some ETH, if I'm being perfectly honest. But he's the number one card. If there's any Livingston fans that are out there, they can certainly hit my DMs and I'll maybe do them a wee deal. But yeah, just like you say, it's great operating in a market. And I'm sure every Surrey user, you know, whether you're sitting in Germany just now or France or England or whatever, you know, if you know your market place and you know a little bit about your team and your players and your league, then it gives you that wee advantage, doesn't it, Chris?
It certainly does. I think, I mean, the likes of that Marco Hara deal, I found that yesterday when I was going through some reports talking about St Mirren signing a young Australian international. And it was just a little sub-note in there. And I was like, oh, right, okay. Well, I'd seen that his price was quite low. He did used to play for my club and played for him for a couple of years. And I picked him up. There was somebody who had one listed at 0.02. And I thought, do you know what? If I can get that for maybe 0.16 or so. And then somebody listed one for 0.014. And that was like 31 quid when I bought it last night, 31.50. And I just decided I wasn't even going to negotiate. I was just going to buy that because that's, you know, in August, September, once he's played five or six games for St Mirren, I could see that card easily. He's going to be a key player there. He's a very talented player that's been unfortunate with injury this season and has kind of fallen out of, you know, he'd kind of fallen out of the team a wee bit. And I think he's going to be one that, you know, will certainly increase in value. And I'm more than happy to have paid 30 quid for a card like that. So, yeah, you don't know these things out with, you know, if I'm looking at the J-League, I'm having to translate articles and, you know, trying to find the articles in the first place is a challenge. Even if you're looking at the Austrian League or even if you're looking at Spanish, and I can speak a little Spanish, I could read a little Spanish, but it's not as easy as knowing your own league. So I'm quite excited. I did get a little message from Christian last week telling me of another United player that I should go and see if he had a card, and that was at the launch, and he unfortunately doesn't have a card, but he's been scoring for fun in the youth team at the moment. That was Rory McLeod. So that was one that I had a nosy for, wasn't there. But it's these local knowledge things that are going to be there. So I'm hopeful that Dundee could still, you know, pull a miracle out of the bag. But I mean, when you're, 10, 11 games without a win? Oh, no, sorry, 10 wins without 10 games without a win since Mark McGee took over. If you were to believe him in his post-match interview, that's irrelevant. I beg to differ. The lack of points would probably beg to differ. But apparently it's irrelevant. As long as he gets naked when we win, apparently that's okay. But yeah, no, nonetheless. nonetheless, he's definitely not winning that Housewives Choice Award that you so covetedly won. But yeah, I think it's been fun, and that also kind of spurred me on to a little bit of a, you know, review of my summer strategy. To be perfectly honest, I did have a summer strategy in place, and we're kind of going to touch on our summer strategies. And I was quite public with what I was doing on Monday, and yeah, so there was a few things on there that, you know, I was kind of looking at. But I'll just before we go on, is there anything you want to add to the launch there, Russ, before I crack on with just running away with myself here?
Just a couple of things just before we move topic to the sort of summer strategy sort of analysis. Just a few points in relation to the Scottish stuff. So first and foremost, a little apology from me, actually. Just when we were going through the teams last week, and I was, you know, I had all my notes jotted down that just based on players I was looking for, and I very incorrectly advised that, although I tipped Mark O'Hara as a player that would do very well, I said that he'd actually scored 10 goals the season before last. It wasn't him, it was Liam Donnelly who was underneath him that had scored more than 10 and was injured. They were both out injured. But it was Liam Donnelly. So just in case MD picked up on that, I certainly knew that beforehand, but I can't read my own handwriting. The second one, I'm delighted that you know Spanish, because I think the only Spanish you know is probably from watching Dora the Explorer, and it's Hola.
Yeah, it was Diego I actually watched with Christian.
Diego, yeah, absolutely. I know Spanish, he says.
I've got you know, the top level of standard grade for it, you know, and I'm just saying. I'm surprised
you went to school. I'm surprised you went to school. The good thing that I did see, obviously just with, and I don't know if it's any connection to Surrey, but Roy Keane's interested apparently in taking the Hibernian job.
That'd be fantastic.
So that's a good one. And just a little footnote, I've not mentioned this anywhere at all, and Chris, you know, I've not even managed to mention this to you yet, but just again, this just is something that sparked from the interest of Scottish football in Surrey. There's an app out there called Surrey Sharp that have approach yours truly to do the lineup predictions. So that's something that again has just come from just what we do in, you know, social media and on the pods and things like that. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of help in relation to the lineup predictions. And in truth, given that I seen your very own good Dundee lineup prediction, which was absolutely spot on,
yeah.
I'll probably be using your assistance in that. So That's the last of the sort of the Scottish update for this week from me.
Yeah, no, just on that note, I mean, yeah, I put up the Dundee predicted, and I didn't think there was going to be many people were actually going to be using the Dundee cards in there. But I did, on just, you know, on that topic, I did say that Jordan Marshall and Ryan Sweeney were my two tips from Dundee. And as I say, Marshall scored the goal and Ryan Sweeney had a goal line clearance. And I think Marshall was 83 points I got from him and 63 from Sweeney. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that. And it was fun. But yeah, I predicted the lineup and it was spot on to the number. I had one position and I had three picks for that position. And I thought, you know what? Put it up and put the three cards there and just say what, you know, which one of the three is going to be. And it turned out to be Paul McGowan, but the rest of it was on the money. So yeah, that was that. And I did have a few people message me about, you know, picking up Dundee cards and things like that. And as I say, it's definitely a buyer beware situation. There was something happened in the last 24 hours, which was basically Tuesday and Wednesday, which was the Dundee goalkeeper, Adam Lesden's, his rare card. There was some weird trading going on with his cards. People were trading them for 0.2 and 0.21, and his price just rocketed up to that. So his three-day average price was just astronomical. Now, I had a message, and that was from somebody that I actually have on Facebook, and he was questioning it. And I was like, no, the boy's definitely out. And I was in the middle of dealing with something, but I was like, no, he's definitely out. I mean, Mark McGee said he's pretty much done for the season. And I went and had a look, couldn't find any other information. And sure enough, it looks a lot like market manipulation because there's so few cards. So just beware, if you're getting offered cards, please, please, please go and, you know, don't just look at the market and go, oh, they're all at 0.25. That doesn't mean anything just now because there's so few cards. Have a look at what they're actually selling for. And if you see a strange pattern, do a bit more research on that. That would be my suggestion on that one, because my gut feeling is that, you know, that there was manipulation going on there that might result in a few of these cards being traded into Pavel Trader. And it's poor form, as we would say. I did jump ahead of myself. I had some bullet points and I'd briefly talked about them with us beforehand, but I'd kind of skipped ahead a little bit. So apologies there. But I'm going to look ahead a little bit to the summer strategy, because that was kind of something I'd been working on Monday and Tuesday. And I had a real world situation yesterday, and I didn't have time to kind of answer people who were questioning, you know, what I was doing. So I think a few weeks ago we perhaps spoke about, in fact, I think it was on last week's podcast, because I was listening to it just in kind of preparation. I think on last week's podcast, I said something along the lines of I was tempted to sell my European cards ahead of the next season, basically. So when the boom's happening, I was contemplating selling my European cards and keeping my J-League cards and my, you know, and playing All-Star with the J-League and playing Champion Asia. And I'd been toying with that since Thursday last week, And I changed my tactic entirely. So I had a look at it at the weekend there, and I had a team that I was using in Champion Asia that the team was worth almost one ETH. And that was ridiculous as far as I was concerned. You know, I hadn't won any prizes with it. I'd come close, but it was a stack, which is always risky. I think if I'd maybe broken it down a wee bit, it could have been different. But anyway, I was sitting there and I'm like, I'm entering this team worth one ETH and I am getting zero return off of it. Now, I'd actually bought the whole team for 0.055. So it almost doubled in value because I bought a lot of the players in end of September, beginning of October. I bought a few of them and I bought the other ones at the start of the season. So I'd got, you know, I'm going to say lucky. I wouldn't, you know, there was a lot of research and, you know, and trusting my gut, you know, of, you know, I trusted that Sugeno was going to keep his position and what have you. And I did a trade that was actually 0.08 worth of a trade for what ended up continuing to be a number one goalkeeper because I trusted my gut. Stalked him on Instagram, maybe. But, you know, and I just thought, you know what, this is mental. We've got the baby coming in July and we've got a baby saving fund and I want 6 months worth of house payments in that account by July. We're after this week, we are just over halfway to that. And it was just a plan. I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell this team. I'm going to keep a skeleton squad for playing an All-Star. And I'm going to take out half the money and I'm going to keep the other half in. And I'm going to reinvest that into cheap European cards because the market is soft. And it's going to get softer. It's going to get softer for another few weeks, I believe. And then it'll pick up late June, early July as people start to prep. It's just the cycle. You know, people look at their Serie data value and freak out because it's half of what it was or whatever. Don't freak out. So I decided to go against the grain and I've sold out of the J-League. And I've got one team, as I say, I'm going to be running it with a common goalkeeper and I'm going to pick up another European goalkeeper. I might need to pick up two. And yeah, that's basically where I'm at with my new strategy is I am going gung-ho with my European purchases. And I intend on selling a lot of them in June, July. And I'm going to keep a core that is going to be my team. And I'm going to just continue that cycle. I'm going to keep working the cycles. When I see, you know, leagues are coming towards an end, it's time to buy in. When the league starts again, it's time to sell out. And that's getting back to basics and making money. I've made no bones about it. I think neither of us have made bones about that, Russ, is that we're both in this to make money. I enjoy the SO5, but it's not where I get my money from. I get my money from trading. And that's what I'm good at. And that's what I'm going to go back to doing. And I'm going to try and be smart around the strategy. So that's my summer strategy was turned on its head entirely with the launch of Scotland, because I'm going to invest a fair bit into Scotland because it's what I know. And it's exactly what you've just been preaching. It's what we know and it's what makes sense to us. So that's my change in summer strategy. How about you, Russ?
Well, and we hadn't spoken about this, which is quite bizarre. But
genuinely hadn't
spoken about this, and this is what made it a little bit more freaky. And you've always, you know, you've always had quite a good handle on the you know, the J League, and you've been up early doing your Serrera on a budget, you know, sort of you know, your tune ins and stuff. And great, you know, and you've got quite a good little following of sort of J League fans and things, etc., yeah, on your socials, which is great. So for obviously for you to do that is a bit of a shock. However, I, at the same time as you, had made the sort of subconscious decision that I just wasn't enjoying it. Now, as you know, I played Champion Asia last year with that, and I did have a rare goalkeeper. I had a lad, I think his name was Kami Fukumoto.
And you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excuse the language, folks. Unbelievable stuff.
On the pod. Try to keep this on under. However, I ran with that last season and I had some good cards and I don't know if I could put it down to the fact that I just felt that the early adopters had just really got such key Asian cards that just perform at that 70 plus every week, and there were so many seemed to have five of them. And I gave up last year on that and basically just moved my resources around and, like you say, plodded on my trade in, and you know, ultimately it was, you know, five figures of trading in every sort of quarter. And this year I thought, do you know what, I'm going to crack it. I'm gonna really try and sort of crack Asia and get on the sort of the coattails of these guys. And assigned some good players at the start, and perhaps I maybe shouldn't have sold the lad Koga at Raceall, who I picked up for, you know, I think it was 0.05 ETH and sold for six, seven times that just quite recently. But I had a stack, and I had Hyon in the goal and Takahashi and Omonami. And I probably, in truth, I knew within my heart of hearts that my striker wasn't, he plays every week, but he just isn't an out-and-out goal scorer.
Yeah.
And I just made the decision just to, I thought, you know what, I don't particularly enjoy, if I'm being completely honest, I've made no videos, I've made next to no content on the J-League. I used to watch a little bit of the J-League, God, when Gary Lineker was playing over there and stuff, you know, that was quite a big thing back then. Incidentally, the first ever Scotsman to play in the J-League was a chap called Steve Patterson. I don't know if you remember, he managed Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, yes.
He was the first Scotsman to ever play in the J-League, for a wee bit of trivia for you there. However, it's not a league that I've got an awful lot of interest now in, and I think that's probably, in truth, due to the time that they play their games as well, doesn't help for me. So I decided to ditch Asia as well. Now, Hyon, the goalkeeper, has moved on. Koga moved on, as I say, about 3-4 weeks ago. And I had quite a lot of bids, actually, or certainly offers coming in for Omonami and Takahashi and co. I think I've got maybe two or three of them. Now, I'm actually not desperately looking myself, and being completely honest. And I'm not saying that just because I'm on the pod, but because ultimately I can still use these guys in global.
Absolutely.
And I'm more than happy to do so because they are good. And just as kind of proof of the pudding, I've actually bought a few of the limited ones because I do like a few of the players that we both picked up. And we did discuss openly that Raceall had obviously started the season well, and we were both looking at the same players. And we both agreed that these guys are scoring well, so, and they're keenly priced, so why not pick them up? So my summer strategy, following on from last year and just analysing the trading patterns, for anybody that's kind of relatively new to the game, just to kind of re-emphasise that the MLS sell-off sort of happens around about November, December, and the purchases start February, March. The Asia is, I would probably say November, Chris, that the start of the sell-off starts normally, and then the purchases again late January.
It was a wee bit earlier this year, I think. October. It was kind of October time, because that's when I started to pick some of them up. And it's, it's finding those cycles, but I think it didn't dip as much as people anticipated it, and I think it started to climb back a lot earlier this year. It was, you know, certainly from the J-League point of view. Now, obviously, it peaked, as you say, February, March, but the climb started to happen again almost in December going into January, because there were so many new people on board, and then the European cards were so expensive, they didn't have an option to really onboard at that level. So a lot of people were buying teams in preparation. And that's where a lot of guys have, you know, not a lot of new guys had actually made money, because they were pre-planning. And I think that's what's going to end up happening with Europe, you know, with people maybe starting to pre-buy for next season now and next month. You know, I think it'll be, you know, into mid to late June, I reckon, that the boom will probably come. And it will come.
It happened last year, certainly. And I think, you know, looking at my strategy, and certainly the guys that I try and give a wee bit of advice to, whether it's on social or in, you know, Facebook groups and things, the Euro sell-off for guys that are operating maybe galleries of sort of like under 15 cards, they want to continue playing over the summer. They maybe don't want to put in or they can't put in more money. So ultimately what happens is they sell off their European cards to buy MLS and Asian cards so that they can continue to play. Now that benefits obviously the buyer. So it's a buyer's market for European cards at the moment. And we've both seen that and we're both doing that. So, you know, there's no secret here. We're not the only people doing this as well. You know, it's not a sort of light bulb sort of Edison moment here. You know, this is common sense.
Yeah, we're not claiming glory over this strategy.
No, absolutely. But it's something that I really feel that if you can afford to do so as a listener, and you can basically start picking up some European cards. And by that, you know, there's some really good bargains of guys that are really, really consistent in both sort of the Dutch and the Belgian league. And ultimately, I would, you know, be checking things like the contract lengths and things where it's, you know, it's harder to buy them out of, you know, for transfers, et cetera, for other leagues. You know, it's obviously if someone's contracted for another 3 or 4 seasons, the fees that are involved are generally less, and it's a bit less of a nightmare for the agents, etc. as well. But what I'm doing at the moment, you can quite openly see it for anybody that follows my gallery. I'm buying in quite a lot of under 23 Europeans. I've also got quite a lot of out of contract players. And again, I think I touched on it last week, where I'm pretty confident that the players aren't going to, like, for instance, drop down and be relegated with teams. And I'm also looking at players that I think might switch leagues, etc. So there'll be a lot, you know, if you were to look in my gallery for the first time as a listener, you would probably look and go, you know, what the hell's he doing with him in there? But there is genuinely a reason for every single person in my gallery. And believe it or not, you know, I'm probably on a 90% hit rate of players leaving for more money than they've joined me for.
Yeah.
The final couple of points I've got, I think it's really important. I think it's really important just to be starting to look, if you do not have your playing goalkeeper, I think it's probably the best time, out with probably the Scottish guys right now, because like Chris mentioned, there are, you know, so few numbers of, you know, issues of each goalkeeper, but certainly your Eredivisie and your Jupiler League and your Turkish, certainly all that stuff, you know, if you're looking at those goalkeepers, then now is probably the time to start snapping up. I certainly know that the three or four guys that I've been trying to give advice to this week, they've all bought a European goalkeeper for next season that in theory should be the number one, given the best case scenarios. And the other thing that I've got, Chris, as well, just that might be quite handy is, you know, again, I've got a lot of time on my hands. Being the part-timer, unlike yourself, who's, you know, oh God, you know, knuckles.
Let's be honest, I'm a full-timer that's a part-timer. My job benefits me doing Surrey so much, it's unbelievable. I'm basically, whilst I'm a bus driver, I'm in essence I'm what is called a flexi bus. It's an on-demand pickup for rural areas. So I might not, I might not have a pickup for an hour. So during that hour, guess what I'm doing? I'm researching, I'm bugging people, I'm messaging Russ and getting no reply because he's actually working. And it's like, well, why do you have to have a job where you cannot text me back? I don't understand this. Sort yourself out.
It is only 3 days. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Still too much.
Probably is. The few things, just again, hopefully this will benefit the listeners out there. Now, there are just 6 or 7 of the leagues that I've been keeping a really close eye on. So this is the second tier. So this is the clubs that could be promoted. So in the Netherlands, so just below the Eredivisie, FC Emmen, who went down last season, they're coming back up, and Volendam are joining them. There's then a playoff, which basically the way that the Eredivisie works is that it's split into 4 sections, and if you top a section at a certain time period of the season, you're guaranteed to be in the playoffs. So there are quite a few clubs that are going to be contesting that, including Excelsior and Almere City, which the only connection I have with Almere City is, and I'm not going to let you ridicule me here, Chris, but Rodney Schneider, the brother of Wesley Schneider, who joined Dundee United for a brief period of time.
Oh boy.
And I'm not even sure. You know, I think he played like 3 games or something. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I don't want to say anything further. Anyway, they're one of the clubs that are in contention. If they come up, you can ridicule me in a future podcast.
Look forward to it. I'm actually writing that down.
The German league, Werder Bremen, Schalke, St. Pauli, they're all up there contesting. It's not done and dusted.
On a very quick one, in terms of Schalke, I think it was either last week's podcast or the week before, I mentioned that their goalkeeper was up on the market for about 0.2 or so. Beware of that, because one of the young Austrian goalkeepers has been heavily, heavily linked. And if he moves there, he will be their number one. So I would, you know, again, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but he was on the... It was widely reported that he is moving there, so I would be very cautious of that. Yeah.
In the Turkish league, it's Anchorage and a team called Umranyaspor, which I'll be honest, I don't know an awful lot about them.
Fantastic name.
Yeah, fantastic name. Yeah. So they're the two teams that have been. They're both promoted, and there'll be another one that basically has a. I think they've got a playoff there. in Spain. So Dora, it could be Eibar, it could be Tenerife, Almeria are up there as well. So there's a few clubs that are up there contesting it. And in France, Toulouse have been promoted. So they obviously went down and they've come back up.
They had the young J League striker. He scored the goal to seal the promotion. I can't remember his name offhand, but he's in the game. Expensive Onuai or something like that. I can't remember what the lad's name is, but yeah, he scored the winning goal to promote them. I seen that on a video of that on.
I seen the team talk
Twitter. Sorry,
did you see the team talk on Twitter?
The team talk on Twitter.
Yeah, the manager for Toulouse, he just basically said to that the young Japanese lad, he just says, "Go out and get yourself a goal. You've nothing to lose."
Oh my goodness. And on that bombshell.
We move on to Italy. So Italy, we've got Pisa. And now, again, for any of the Scottish listeners, most people will associate Pisa with Paul Elliott that played for Celtic. He was at Pisa for a short period of time. Chris is still shaking his head, I can tell.
I'm struggling to get over that one, to be perfectly honest.
And then finally, in Belgium, Westerlo are promoted, so they're returning back up, so there are cards in the game. Now what I found when I was searching for some of the cards, and again this is just to help people, when you type in the team name in the search bar on the top bar, it wasn't really bringing up any of the cards, but when you actually type it in the current club down on the left hand side of the Serrer menu, you were finding and it was bringing up all the cards. Be very wary. Westerlo at the moment have David Jensen, who was one of my early pickup goalkeepers from New York Red Bulls. He was there last year, and he went from being the number one keeper to the number three keeper after Carlos Coronel took the shirt, and then Ryan Mira, the Irish-American guy, got relegated to number two, and David Jensen found himself completely in oblivion. And he ended up there. However, he is only on loan, and they have signed a chap called Nick Gillikens, who amazingly was one of my do not play common goalkeepers that I struggled with. I had no playing goalkeepers in common for the first 10 months of playing this game, amazingly. But Nick Gillikens, in theory, could be back in the game. Now, I went and had a look in the hope that there was maybe one sitting for 50 quid, and sadly, alas, there is not. They're all quite heavily priced. However, again, it's just new players that are going to be in the game, and it's just data and sort of things for the listeners to look out. So that's what I've got basically on strategy and season planning ahead.
Yeah.
Do you have any players this week, Chris, that you can...
I do. Just one player I've just quickly noticed there. I went to go and find the young lad's name just to make sure I got it right, and I was right. It's Adu Onawu. I'm awful with these names. Anybody who's watched my videos on YouTube will know if it's a difficult name, I will choose them and I will royally fuck their name. So I that was that. Anyhow, he replaced a former Dundee loanee, Rhys Healy. Was up front for them, and he replaced him in the second half. So yeah,
I think he was Dundee loan. For a while. He was.
We had him on loan for about 3 months in 2015. So I'm surprised you remember that. We were a division above you, I believe, at that stage. No, actually, no, that was the year we relegated you. Interesting. Anyhow, so what I've done this week for my players to watch, I've gone with a little bit of a different avenue. I've been harping on the podcast for the last few weeks that one of my key focuses now is the specialist limited league, because I'm seeing people with teams of, 150, 200 quid maximum winning some serious cards. And I mean, somebody I speak to quite regularly, Moldy, he was 13th in the weekend there for the Specialist Limited, and won a rare Juan Cuadrado, which is worth as a minimum 450 quid. So it was quite impressive. So that's something I've been harping on. So what I've done this week is I've went with five players that are £10 or under for either the specialist or for the underdog. So what I've done is their last 15 for all these players is under 40. So you could feasibly fit them in to either league and qualify, you know, for their status. However, their five game averages are all much higher. So my first one, I'll quickly rattle through these. I'm conscious of the time. Alex Muehl from Nashville, one we're both familiar with, Russ. They are playing at home to Philadelphia this weekend. He has a last five of 54, but his last 15 is only 39. The lowest price for him on the market was 0.0044, which was bang on the £10 mark when I looked at that earlier in the day. Now, I think he's dropped a little bit over the course of the day. He started the last five, however, as a right wing. I think it's right mid, right wing. One goal, one assist in that time period as well. So not a bad pickup for £10 to be able to slot into your either of those teams. The next one that I've got in rare and in limited, and that's Conor Randall from Ross County. Now, his last two games have been against decent opposition. One was away to Aberdeen and one was at home to Celtic. And he scored a 65 and a 63 in those games. They're away to Hearts this weekend. A last five of 45 and a last 15 of 39. So he fits in that. The lowest price on the market for him was 0.0027. So that was about £5 or £6. And I don't think that's too bad for a player that is capable of some really decent scores. The only thing to watch out, his last game against Hearts, which was three games ago, because of the way the split works, he only scored 12 points. But his recent form in the last two games indicates he might be worth a punt. The next one is a Twitter favourite, and that is Sergei Petrov from Krasnodar. They're playing at home to Rostov. Last five of 53. So basically since the outbreak of the war, and some of the foreign players having left Krasnodar in particular, he's played regularly. Last five of 53, last 15 of 40, so he's bang on it. 0.002, so that was about £4.60 earlier in the day. Start six of the last five as a right back. I don't think it's worth, you know, it isn't a bad punt, to be perfectly honest. Next one, Connor Shields, another SPFL lad, and it's another one that's in my gallery. I picked him up as a limited. Plays for Motherwell. They're away to Russ's Dundee United at the weekend. Last five of 47 and the last 15 of 39. He started the last four games. Now, their main striker, Kevin Van Veen, is out suspended. He had a two-match suspension. He missed at the weekend and he's going to miss this weekend as well, and which means he's going to be likely to start. In those last four games, he has one goal and one assist. I believe that was actually the same game. But if he can pull that out of the bag again for you, that would be a healthy score in your specialist or your underdog. The specialist scores to win a card isn't particularly high. I mean, I did it last, you know, was it last weekend I did it? And that was with 299 points. So you can certainly win some decent cards from not a monster score. My final one, you might be able to pick up a little bit cheaper than he already is, and that is ridiculously cheap because of the MLS cards dropping tonight, which we've completely glossed over. But I'll come back to it just before we finish. Joseph Mora, a left back from Charlotte. They're away to Orlando at the weekend. He's got a last five of 47 and a last 15 of 37. Now, it is going to be quite a tough fixture. But you are picking him up for £3.50 at the moment, 0.0016. We've preached about trying to be realistic and with real world budgets, and I've still been recommending cards, and we've been, you know, recommending cards that are for rares, certainly, you know, budget buys. But I thought I'd go for a little different angle, under £10 buys, and I think those ones could definitely slot into a specialist team, which could certainly help you towards winning cards. So that's my five for this week. How about you, Ross?
Good. I really like, actually, just one of the points on your on one of your five there. But really good pick up on obviously the Russian league and picking up your man from Kras there. Just they obviously released, I think, a record number of players. I think they were the club that had the most foreign players. So guys like Cabela, Vilhena, Wanderson, Ramirez, the fullback, Spajic, Victor Klaassen went back to Sweden, I think. Is, you know, they had an amazing amount of players. So the chances for their Russian homegrown guys, like you say, is great. So really like those pickups. I did something a little bit different. Time constraints for me just meant that I kind of didn't do my usual as such. So I've just got three players that I just think are going to do well. And the first one is quite an obvious one for me. And it's a Scottish League player. It's Liam Smith. And Liam Smith's obviously predominantly played for Dundee United at right back. And he's been more recently playing on the right mid. Now, as we know, due to the losing possession and the run points scoring in SO5, it's kind of working like Juan Cuadrado, who scores really, really well. Now, I'm not saying that Liam is Juan by any means or stretch of the imagination. However, it's a defender card that could be potentially playing on right midfield. So there shouldn't be, in theory, the same penalties for that card. And that was probably in evidence there at the weekend where he scored, I think he scored 60 points there against Hearts in a defeat. So Liam Smith, you're basically getting him on in the rare market for round about 0.04. So that's one of my picks. I've only got three. The second one is a player that you will remember, Chris, in Courtney Ford, who was at the Colorado Rapids. And he returned to action. I think he had a really bad injury, sort of stricken season last year. And he's now with Kansas City. You're able to pick him up on the market at the moment for 0.05. It is one of those ones because he's had so many injuries. It's a wee bit of, you know, proceed with caution. If you've got a spare bit of ETH, etc., I wouldn't be picking him up for my first main sort of America's defender, but as maybe your cover defender. Now, I do believe, I didn't double check, but he scored, I'm sure it was over for 85, and I've got a feeling it was maybe around about 92 or 96 points.
It's 96. I've just had a
96, was it? Yeah. And I had a look at it, I think it was yesterday, and was obviously banking on it not being adjusted. My final player isn't quite so cheap. It's one for people with a slightly more extravagant wallet. And he's still under 0.1, and that is Derek Williams. And that's Derek, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, if you're looking to search for him. Now, this is the Irishman that was born in Hamburg. But he's of German birth. But he played in English football. He was at Aston Villa through the thought of his youth and stuff like that. And I remember him again just from Fantasy League days. He went to Bristol City and played for them whilst they weren't in the Championship. They were in League One, and I'm pretty certain that he didn't play for them when they got up in the Championship. He did move to Blackburn Rovers, played over 100 games. He's now at Galaxy. He is playing immense at the moment.
Yes.
He just seems to have just got into the team, and his scores are fantastic. Now, whether that the SO5 scores, whether his current manager is looking at his SO5 on Sarair and going, yeah, we'll keep him in the team based on that, it's another matter. But he's doing really well. It's a player that if you're looking for heavy greens for under 100, I think that's decent value. So that's basically all I've got in relation to players. What I will say, I do have, have you made any, just a question, Chris, for you, have you made any Sarair on a budget videos or content this week?
Do you know what? I haven't. If I'm being perfectly honest, I haven't. This last couple of weeks have been a wee bit hectic, and just in terms of, you know, making some preparations for, you know, it's becoming all too real that in 10 weeks, my life's going to be turned upside down with the arrival of a second female in this house. So I've not had a lot of time, but my intent is to get right back onto the content. And my main focus just now has actually been the podcast and trying to get that off the ground and get that up and running. And I've tried to put a lot of the content that I would have saved for a video into here, because I feel that it's getting to a decent size, you know, it's getting that information out in a different format. So it's a decent way to do that for people. You know, you can listen to this on your way to work. You can't really watch a YouTube video on your way to work if you're driving the car, obviously. So I haven't done it, but I am going to try and do a fair bit of content around the limited cards, and that's nothing that I've ever done. And that's purely because I genuinely think, and I've said it countless times, I've said it on Twitter, I've said it to you many times now, the Specialist Limited League has serious potential for progression. And I think it's well worth a look for anybody who has a playing limited goalkeeper. And you can pick them up pretty reasonably as well. So that'd be your big expense, but you can pick the rest of them up. Just as an example, because of the MLS League coming out, there'll be a lot of dump off of the 2021 cards going on. The lad that Russell just mentioned, Derek Williams, his limited card. Now, bear in mind, for the Specialist League, it makes not a jot whatever percentage they're on, because the percentage doesn't count. You get no captain, and the percentage bonus does not count. You get their exact score. So you could pick him up for £11.82 right now. Bad that's bit. Insane for a player that's got a last five of 67 and a last 15 of 53. That's a bargain. That's a bargain in anybody's book. So yeah, there's some serious potential there. So yeah, I'm going to look at doing things like that. Maybe a video of under 15 quid, the best value goalkeepers under 60 or 70 quid, you know, that sort of thing. But no, I personally haven't, but I know that you've been working away like a busy squirrel in autumn.
Yeah, I've just to mention it, I've got all 11 of the Scottish clubs. So as you know, I create the charts and things and put them up on Twitter in relation to their Opta scores and just getting their full season utility. But what I've decided to do, and it's been a long time since I've done any videos, and it's probably just going to be a little mini series that, again, after that, I'll probably go into hibernation for a couple of months. But
like the busy squirrel.
Yeah, they're about seven to 9 minute sort of short videos on every club. So Aberdeen is going to be launching on the YouTube channel tomorrow, and I'll make sure that it's posted. So it's a review on Aberdeen. It basically looks at the, you know, all the players, all the scores over the season. As a slight difference, normally I just basically put up the Opta charts and there's no sound on them. However, on this occasion, I'm going to put some narrative as to explain why players' scores stop, for example, you know, where they've been injured, they're out with maybe like, you know, cruciate or a knee injury, and that's why the scores have stopped. So I'm going to do Aberdeen is coming out tomorrow. It also covers players out of contract, players that are finishing on their loans, rumoured players as well that are within the game, and some that aren't within the game that might be end up being in the game. So that'll be my kind of content push ahead of I suppose of next week's pod.
Yeah, and I mean on that, the YouTube channel is Scotland Surreyor.
Yeah, it's just simply Scotland Surreyor.
Perfect.
There's not been an awful lot on it recently, but yeah, I thought it's only right that I do the 11 Scottish clubs, and I'll be putting them out in alphabetical order. It's not in any other order other than alphabetical. It's not in club preference or anything like that. So
just getting that just because Dundee will be there before United.
They will be. Yeah.
But no, I mean the three things I would ask you to follow are all Twitter based. And that is the podcast itself, which is at AVFTDpod. And as I say, we have got a multiple of the listens compared to the follows. So obviously people are following through our personal accounts, but it'd be great if we could get it onto the podcast account. Also, I'm at Surreyor on the Budget and Russ is at Scotland Surreyor. I said it on last week's pod, if you are not following Russ, do it. If you want Scottish information, that's your place to go and get it. I don't care who else has content out there. You're not going to get any more stats-based and, you know, fact-backed, you know, details than what Russ is going to give you. I'll find some, you know, news tidbits and things like that, and I'll post them up on my page. But, you know, the real stats are going to come from my man Stato here, and he is going to, you know, you won't find better information on the Scottish League from anybody, and I don't care what anybody else has to say about that perfectly. So that's that. So I've got nothing else to add this week, Russ, other than a big thank you to all our listens, especially all the new listens from last week. And on that note, I will sign off for myself, Chris, and from the former Housewife's Choice of the Year award winner. We're going to have to get a picture of that award up on your Twitter page, or is that maybe being hidden away in a loft someplace? I don't know, but either way, we'll figure that out. It's hidden away. That's because he wasn't married then. So I will sign off for now. Take care, guys, and I will speak to you all again next week.